Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Well, this morning, the title of my message is God is Faithful. I want to read a few scriptures before we get going this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, "This is the faithful saying, for if we died with him, we also shall live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Romans chapter 3, verses 3 through 34, which I'll have it on the screen for you. "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged." Let's look at the next scripture found in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, "God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I'm thankful for your time with us thus far in this service. Lord, we're thankful for your presence. And Lord, we know that you're about the preaching of the word. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts, God, with understanding, not only with these that are in the room this morning, but also with those that are watching online. May your presence flood their living room or wherever it may be that they're watching this morning. And Lord, may your word, God, speak into our hearts and stir us this morning, God, in a powerful way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 was on my heart last week to preach. All last week, it just kind of weighed in on me. Even while I was on vacation, it was weighing on me a little bit. And it's still on my heart this week. Even after I sat in Lou's class last Sunday just to be ministered to last Sunday. And let me tell you something. I'm a firm believer that when you are in a difficult time, you need to be in church and let God minister to you. I can't tell you how much better I felt after being with you guys Sunday and also hearing the word of God. And I read that in the last part of that. Here it was, been on my heart, and I thought, oh great, this is my sermon that's in her Sunday school lesson, but I'm gonna preach it anyhow this morning and because it's still on my heart. It was used not only in hers, but I think it was in our lesson also. But I must confess this morning that I was thinking, as many of us do, about only one part of the verse. You know, sometimes we do that. We think about just one part of the verse. Sometimes we'll quote James chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, "Draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you," but we forget about this. It says, "Cleanse your hands, sinners, and you double-minded." We leave that out. That means it takes something to get close to him. So we only quote half of it. If you'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And so sometimes we do that many times in our verses that we get to thinking about. And I've been thinking, God is faithful. God is faithful. And I would think of this. And this scripture says he remains faithful. Or when we paraphrase it, it also says, my God is faithful. And that's usually what we say. And it means that he's faithful through anything. And I get that. But there's a lot more to this verse than just my God is faithful. A lot more to it. See, all the scriptures I have read this morning gives us a little more depth into the saying, my God is faithful. When we look at the three different references I gave this morning, it gives us a lot more depth into what that means. So I'm going to be here for just a little bit this morning. I got a couple of points I want to share with you. The first thing I want to share is his faithfulness ties directly back to his word. His faithfulness ties directly back to his word. And, you know, he is bound by his word. God is bound by his word and what he says. 2 Timothy 2:13 says he cannot deny himself. What does that mean? That means he cannot go back on what he has said. He can't go back on his word. He's going to do what he has said. It means he's going to keep it. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. It means that God will be true no matter what. And many times, even if I don't believe, I got to understand this, that God will be true to his word. It all ties back to what his word speaks. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Come on. When we're talking about his faithfulness, when we're talking about God, and all this, his faithfulness is tied back into what he has proclaimed. It's tied back into what he has said. It's connected to his word. He is faithful to keep his word. His word is what he will stay to. You know, when we think about this, this should shed some light, even just shed a little light on why did we have to have Calvary? Why did we have to have Jesus go to the cross? Listen, God being almighty could have told the Satan to lump it. When man had fallen, he could have said, hey, I'm God, I can take care of it, we're going to start over. And if you don't know what lump it means, it just means get over it. Some of the young ones go, what does that mean to lump it? I just realized I said something really old there. Okay. But you know, if that would have been the case, if he was not bound to his word, he could have said, hey, we're going to scratch it. We're going to back up tomorrow, because he could have backed up yesterday. He could have backed them up, and he could have kept Satan out of the garden. He has that power. He's almighty. He could do anything. But the fact is, man sinned, and sin came into the world, and now the Lord had to deal with it according to his word. No unrighteousness could come into his presence. Sin keeps man out of God's presence. So the enemy knew that he had God by his word. Now think about it. When we think about that, he knew that he had to have a plan, that he had to have someone come that was sinless, that the enemy would die or kill on the cross of Calvary. What? In order to give us a game plan, in order to give us a plan back into the presence of God. Why? Because God is always bound by his word. His word, you know, we live in a day and a time that men and women are not bound by their word. I have had so many times in my life someone says, I'm going to do this, and they never come through. I look at things and, if you'll sell this, we'll do this, and it never takes place. But that is not God. God is not man that he should lie, but God will keep everything that's in his word. So when he says he's faithful, he's faithful to keep his word. Faithful to keep his word. So therefore, what he has said, he will do. What he said, he will do. He's not like the parent that keeps saying, if you do that one more time. What he said, he will do. See, many think that God will compromise his word. But I got to tell you tonight, he won't compromise his word. And that's the attitude with many today. Says, well, God understands. See, he does not work in gray areas, but he works in what his word has proclaimed. This is why we should understand this very thing when it comes to different things in our life. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. We need to understand that God does not compromise. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God, listen to what he says, is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature, listen to what it says, no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked, open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Do you hear what the word of God is able to do? Word of God, I mean, we would all love to have a scanner that could scan our body and tell us everything that's wrong with us. Listen, the Word of God is so powerful. The Word of God that He's faithful to, the Word of God that He said He will be faithful to, is able to scan my life. And He gets over my mind. He knows my thoughts. He gets into my heart. He knows what makes me move and what my motivation is and what's got a hold of me. He's able to scan. The Word of God is powerful. And what the Word says, He is faithful to that word. Faithful to that word. My God is faithful in those areas. It's interesting because I believe it's, we understand. See, His word is to all mankind, not just to the Christian. Because listen, I wasn't a Christian until I heard the word of God. How about you? I wasn't born Christian. I was born again Christian. And His word is to all mankind, and His direction is to all mankind, and His promises are to all mankind, and His also His warning is to all mankind. Everything about His word is to mankind. It is His word that reveals the future of the universe and of all people. His word. Now think about that. It's not the word of the Muslim. It's not the word of Buddha. It's not the word of Muhammad. But it's the word of God that has been spoken, revealed to mankind. It's the word of God that will be used. He will be faithful to what He has said. Every bit of it, my friend. He will be faithful to that word, knowing and keeping that word. And sometimes we feel like, oh, God, He's a little flexible, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you today, we've got to keep in our mind that God is faithful to His word. Amen? You want to know what God's going to do? I got a hint for you. Read the word of God. This great country that we live in will be dissolved one day. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says it's going to happen. This whole universe that we're so careful about trying to protect and go green and all that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the Word of God says the future of this universe is going to be a fire. I'm just saying, do we need to take care of things? Don't carry that too far. Yes, we do. But I think we're getting a little overboard. Because the Word of God proclaims what is going to take place. And He's faithful to what He speaks. So when we say faithful, what is He faithful to? Is He's faithful to keep His Word. To keep His Word in our lives. Knowing that God has to be faithful to His Word, listen, puts options into our court. I mean, the first thing to really living like God wants us to live, we got to believe He's going to keep everything that He's written. And when we understand that, then we understand that by understanding that, He is going to give options for us. See, we get the opportunity to choose how His faithfulness to His word will affect our lives. We get the opportunity to choose how His faithfulness to His word will affect our lives. Come on, we just talked about the fact that He's going to be faithful to everything that He's written and everything that He said. Now we get the opportunity to choose how His faithfulness is going to affect my life and how it's going to affect your life. God is an amazing God, but He gives us the choices on how His faithfulness is going to be in our life. See, God gives us the right to choose. He gives us the right to choose. We find in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says this, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, listen, He gives, don't you love a test that gives you the answer without cheating? He says, I put before you life and death, and then He tells us the answer to choose. He says, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. He says, I give you the opportunity to choose. Aren't you glad you get to choose this morning? And he gives all mankind the opportunity to choose. Sometimes we try to make people choose, but God doesn't make people choose. He gives them opportunity to make a choice in their life. That's God. He's given us the free will to choose. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says this, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, he lets you make a choice in life. He lets you choose. And I think it's interesting that we forget about that and we don't realize there's consequences to our choices. There's consequences to what we choose in life. And so we find that God gives us that opportunity to choose in our life. God has given us the free will, and God also, listen, he also respects our choices. He respects the choice that we make. It doesn't mean he doesn't try to, if you're choosing opposite, doesn't mean that he doesn't try to get you back where you need to be. It doesn't mean that he doesn't send somebody after you, but there's a time when nobody will come anymore. And I'm going to tell you today, he gives you that choice. Some said, well, I don't know. I just can't stand a God that sends people to hell. Listen, people choose to go to hell. People make choices to go there because God has definitely gave an opportunity, heaven or hell. He says, hey, shun hell and heaven to gain. And so we know there's that choice. God gives us that choice as human beings in our lives. He's not some dictator who says, you're going to do this or that. And it's not the false doctrine who says all of us are born to go a certain place, predestined, because that does not line up with the Word of God. God gives human beings the will to choose. The wills to choose. What is my job as a Christian when it says to witness? You know what I'm doing? I'm putting the word out there. But it's their will to choose whether they'll believe it or whether they won't believe it. It's not my job to whip them into heaven. And sometimes we try to do that. If I give a good presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then all they have to do is receive or reject. Or some will sit and meditate on it a while. The choice is there. So we find when it comes to this time, when it comes to that moment, that God is there. And we need to understand this. Then what every choice we make, he will be faithful to apply his word into our lives according to our choices. Now that makes you think just for a moment. He will be faithful to apply his word into our lives according to our choices. God is faithful. And we get to choose how his faithfulness affects our life. See, the results of his faithfulness are different for the sinner and the Christian. I want you to think about it in just a moment. The results of his faithfulness is different for the sinner and the Christian. When you talk about the sinner, Psalms chapter 50. I want you to stay with me just for a moment for Psalms chapter 50. Powerful passage of Scripture. It says, but to the wicked. The wicked can be called ungodly. The wicked can also be sinner. It says, but the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes? Or take my covenant in your mouth. Listen, what's he saying? Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I've kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, Consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever praises glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I show the salvation of God. What a powerful passage of Scripture. When we look at what has been said, the wicked or the ungodly is who he's speaking to. Wicked or ungodly also speaks of a sinner. Listen, if you don't have Jesus, if we don't have Jesus in our life, we're considered ungodly and we're considered a sinner. I know we try to water that word down. We say, well, before salvation, people, or whatever it is. I think sometimes we just need to speak what's truth and say, hey, it's talking about sinners. It says to declare his word is if they like, or if they want and still be in like they're in covenant relationship with him. Can I tell you, there are faithfulness that come with covenant relationship. There's things that God says, I will do for those that come into a covenant relationship. And this is talking about people that don't have the right relationship, but they are proclaiming like they know God and like God is going to be faithful to them. God says you are proclaiming like you are faithful, but listen, you are not. Therefore, you will not receive the faithfulness that you're going, that you think you're going to get from me. Now hear what he's saying. He's saying, you think you have a relationship with me, but you don't. You think I'm in this with you, but you don't understand. He says in verse 17, they cast my words. What has he proclaimed as what the things that they're cast away, what he has proclaimed as godly living, they are not doing it. You cast my words to the side in verse 17 and 18 through 20, he reveals some sin. But in verse 24, they said, he's, I like this part because they think because God is silent, he approves even though his logos word disapproves. Now, I want you to be here just for a moment. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, well, I'm glad God's judgment doesn't come like it used to in the New Testament church when it was first starting. I mean, remember Sapphira and Ananias. You lied to the Holy Spirit. Boom, you're dead. Aren't you glad it's not quite like that? But listen, in the culture that we live, there's this group of people that are proclaiming the covenants of God. They're proclaiming like relationship with God. They're saying, me and God, we're like this. Oh, me and the man upstairs, we're good. We're in good shape. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a different story for them. And they presume they're loose living. They presume all the things they're doing outside a covenant relationship with God, that God has evolved somehow. May I tell you this morning, God has not evolved. What he said in his word is still true. And he says to this group of people, he says, just because I'm silent, you think I'm with you. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a rude awakening one day, because see, God says, I know where you're at. My word's going to divide you, and it's going to say, you don't belong to me. Depart from me, for I never knew you. The word of God is the divider, and it speaks of these things. I've heard it more than once as a pastor. I've heard people say, hey, we've got God and I are going on, and they'd be all messed up on meth and alcohol and living in sexual sin and all these things that they've cast the word of God out of their life. And they say, we've got God. God understands me. I call him daddy. I'm going to crawl up on his lap. I'm going to tell you, there's something wrong with that theology. And just because God is quiet doesn't mean God's accepting it. He says, I am not with you. Hallelujah. He says, I am against you because you do not have a covenant relationship with me. How dare you to think I'm going to be faithful to you when you are unfaithful to me? So it speaks of that side of it. It talks of this relationship that's not quite right. There's a lot of that going on today, and even in the church, that I think many people are going to be rudely awakened when they realize they didn't have a covenant relationship with God. You know what it takes for a covenant relation? It takes coming and turning from sin and receiving Jesus Christ. And His blood cleanses us and the Holy Spirit comes into us. And the Bible says this about that moment that we get saved, is that we become a new creation in God. And we start to do things different. The old things are past and all things become new. And all of a sudden we're starting to look different. We're starting to walk different. We're starting to live different. Why? Because Jesus Christ has came into our lives. But there's another teaching out there that says, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. Grace has got you covered. But I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe God's in that. Because why, Pastor Snyder? Because there's too much stuff that contradicts what they're saying. There's too much stuff in the Bible, too many scriptures that contradict what is being said in what they're teaching. Read that again. It says, these things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. I think it's time that we wake up. And I think it's time that preachers preach it like it should be. Because there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. You know, when we think about the sinner or those that are not quite like they need to be, God gave them clear warning in verse 22, and the warning literally comes from the Word of God. And I think we should have those moments that we warn, hey, you, I know you say you're a Christian, but yet nothing in your life says you're a Christian. There should be fruits of that relationship with God. Well, let's look just for a moment. Faithfulness, God, let me tell you this. God was going to be faithful to them that are living such a lifestyle, but the faithfulness that He, it's going to be those of condemnation, those of judgment, and those are those that God's going to be faithful to do what He said to every wicked or every sinner if they don't repent. There's a faithfulness there. How about the Christian? Romans 8, verses 12 through 17, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of the bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave nor forsake. Now listen to this. It says, I will never leave nor forsake. And also, I will give you eternal life. I will be with you. How many of you know God is going to be faithful to that word, to those that are living in covenant relationship? Eternal life, and when we say eternal life, we're talking about life in heaven, life in the presence of the Lord. For how long? Forever. He is faithful. He's going to be faithful to bring us into that moment of history, that moment of our change in our life when we leave these vessels and go into eternity. He's faithful to bring us into that eternal life. And those are for Christians. I can't tell you how many people, and I talked about heaven and hell two Wednesday nights ago. It says 89% of Christians believe there's a heaven. I don't get that. And 69% of them don't even believe in hell. And I'm thinking, are you not reading the Word of God that He is faithful to? When we are in covenant relationship with God, when we're bought by the blood of Jesus, when the Spirit dwells in us, I'll guarantee you this much, when you breathe your last breath, you are going to be in heaven. How do I know that? Because He is faithful to His Word. Amen. When I stand over a casket out at the graveyard and I say something like this, that some people I can tell who's believing and who's not. I mean, I say something like the trumpet's going to sound one day, and when that trumpet sounds, this ground's going to shake. Hallelujah. And oh my word, the graves are going to open up and this place is going to come alive. Why? Because those new bodies are coming up out of that grave. Oh, I'm telling you, I believe it. Why? Because my God has said it. Hallelujah. He's proclaimed it to be true. And I say it with all that passion. I know it's just a funeral, but I'm going to tell you, that's our hope. That's our hope. That's what the Word of God says for who? You and me. His faithfulness in my life is eternal life. His faithfulness in my life, He will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. No matter what I suffer, what I go through, He is with me. Praise God. Why? Because His Word proclaims it. His Word is wonderful and marvelous to the child of God. His faithfulness to me and to the Christian is different than His faithfulness is going to be to the sinner that did not repent. He will be faithful to that person to do exactly what His Word has said for those that will not give their life to Jesus, but He is going to be just as faithful to those that have given their heart and life to Him. Hallelujah. Faithful to His Word. Didn't finish that verse. So we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. Amen. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. God is faithful to those who are His. His Word is different for those that are His. Listen, He's faithful. You're not going to like this part. Well, you'll like part of it. He's faithful to bring blessing into your life. But I'm going to tell you something else. He's faithful to discipline us. The Bible says He disciplines those that He loves. And He's talking about a child. And I don't know about you, but it's never fun to go to the woodshed with the Lord. And He'll keep you at that woodshed until you realize what, it's not just a beating, it's till you realize what you need to do and get things right in your life. He's faithful. When I wave off the course a little bit, He's faithful to come after me. And my daughters always talk about the boat oar that we use as just a little bitty paddle-looking thing. But I'm going to tell you, He's faithful to come and get me. And not only just discipline me. Discipline means that you take time to teach. You take time for that child to where they're different when they get done with it. And He takes time to show me where I failed. He takes time to show me where it started. He takes time to show me the avenue out. And not only that, He takes time to say, now that you learn it, we're going to forget it, and we're going to forgive you for it, and we're going to go on with life. My friend, I'll take God's discipline anytime over man, because God disciplines in such a way. Why does He do that to the children of God? And sometimes you wonder, why am I going through this? I ask you, are you living like God wants you to live? And then you dawn. It dawns on you, and God goes, remember back? Oh, yeah, I do. He says, you know, I seen you. You didn't think you, I seen you. And I go, yeah. You know, God is faithful to discipline us. And the best thing about discipline, you can be hard-headed and hard-hearted, and that's not what you need to do when God comes to discipline you. Because if you'll repent and turn to Him, He will restore you, and He'll put you back where you need to be. I'm going to tell you, He's faithful to do it. He's faithful to do it. But He's faithful to bring blessing into our life. He's faithful to bless you too. Why? Because you're His. You know, if I had thousands of dollars, I would bless my daughters with a couple thousand. I'd bless them when I was able to. You know, if I just had an abundance of money, I would do what I could. And that's my heart for my children. But I'm going to tell you, God's heart is the same for you. But sometimes He requires us to do things to be, and it just requires trust. Him by tithing and offering, it requires trust. I taught my daughters a long time ago. I was listening to a deal on the way to church. It's talking about you need to teach your kids to work when they're young, give them responsibilities. We started paying our kids an allowance when they were young. But guess what I made them do? If they had 50 cents, they gave a nickel into the church. And some say, why teach your kids to tithe? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I started that back when my kids were little bitty, and now they're full-grown adults with jobs and with wages. And guess what they do? They tithe. And blessings come into their life. I'm just saying today that God's blessing will come, and we're never exempt from what His Word said. He's still faithful to His Word, regardless whether or not when we're saved, we think, oh, the blessings are just going to come upon us. But listen, there's certain things in the Word that we still need to do for His blessing to come into our lives. He is faithful. He is faithful to bring blessings. You know, and you know, He's truly with us when we go through difficult times. He's there. You know, I often talk to some of the evangelists, and one of, you know, Doug Eccles, he talks of the fact that he'll tell them, those guys are flying everywhere all the time. And I've heard it more than once. He says, I was back here in the back, and I think Ruiz told me this too, Brother Ruiz. He says, you know, they bumped me to first class. And they said, you know, I'm back there, and they, because of my air miles or whatever, something happened, they just bumped me up to first class. How many of you like to fly first class instead of just back here with the rest of us peasants? Huh? Wouldn't it be good? It's a special thing. And we realize that they give us that first class. And we're not, how many are would say, no, don't you dare put me out there where they got the dinner rolls and the steak while the rest of us are eating those little pretzels. Don't you dare do that. Most of us say, no, bring me up, right? Same flight, same thing. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we think God is not faithful when somebody is not healed and they pass away. We think God's not faithful to protect when someone gets hurt like my brother or killed like my brother. I'm going to tell you today, God is still faithful. The only thing is that His faithfulness ended into an ultimate faithfulness, ultimate protection. Because the moment that a child of God breathes their last breath, or the moment that that child of God dies with cancer, or whatever it may be that got them, I'm going to tell you the ultimate faithfulness that God has given is that He brings that person into heaven. He brings them into glory, never to suffer again, never to have pain again. My God is faithful. Come on now. Sometimes it's that ultimate faithfulness that He gives us. That ultimate faithfulness. And sometimes we think He let us down. Did He really? Did He really, according to His Word? You tell me where it says God's going to heal you every time. He tells us, come and believe. And that healing sometimes is ultimate. And we don't like it that much. But let me tell you something. I thank God for it. I thank God for His Word. He is faithful to His Word. Faithful to His Word. Pastor, if you'll come. Where you at? Oh, there you are. What are you doing sitting there? Okay. He is faithful. Listen, even when we do not believe, I know there's people out there today who say there's no God. None, that doesn't matter. He's going to be faithful to what He's written. His Logos word is true. And also His Rhema word that lines up. He's faithful. Galatians 6:7-8 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Man cannot mock God. Because God's going to do what God says He's going to do. He is faithful to perform His word. For whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap. I'm hoping this morning that we look at this verse just a little bit differently. Because see, I sometimes feel that people say God's going to be faithful, and he is. That is not a lie. He is going to be faithful, but it does depend on our choices on how he's going to be faithful into our lives. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want to make choices in my life that brings faithfulness into my life that God would have for his child. Amen? I want his word to be faithful in my life for his children, not for those that refuse to receive him. Not for those that just choose to live in sin constantly, because he's going to be faithful to them also. But I want to be on this side that God is going to be faithful to. I believe with all my heart that God is faithful to his children, Pat. Faithful to his children. Faithful to his children. So I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you're at, but I want to ask you, what have you been sowing? Have you been sowing to the flesh or have you been sowing to the Spirit? Because those are two different things. Sowing to the flesh is a carnal life, a life that does not honor God. But have you been sowing to the things of the Spirit of God? Listen, there's things in his words, those things that he proclaims. It's time that the church gets back to being faithful to God. Why? So that he can be faithful to the church.